Open your Bibles to the book of James. Book of James, chapter 2. If you brought your Bibles, James chapter 2. If you didn't bring one, there should be a Bible in front of you. If you don't want to do that, I'm sure you have a Bible app on your phone or iPod Touch, or whatever. James chapter 2. Starting at verse number 14, James chapter 2. It says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.' You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works, or faith without deeds, is dead." In the next 5 weeks, we are going to be challenged by this short letter, this epistle, letter of James. It was a letter written by a man named James. Now, who this James was is not known with 100% certainty. To be named James in the first couple of centuries would be like being named Bill in the Reynoldsburg Church. I mean, we have Bill Schindel and Bill Johnson and Bill Reynolds. Now, short time ago, we only had two Bills, and so we differentiated the Bills by saying Bill and Lynn and Bill and Kim. But now we have Bill and Lynn, Bill and Kim, and Bill and Kim. So James was a popular name. To be named James was very popular. So to see that James is the writer of this letter doesn't tell us a lot. What we have to do when we see authors of these early letters, we have to trust that there were first century, second century Christians who may have had some more insight into who these authors were. We look to these early Christians for clues. Now, traditional sources attribute this letter to James, a brother, a physical brother of Jesus. What we know about this James is found in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark. He was listed among the siblings of Jesus in Mark chapter 6 and verse number 3. At one time, an opponent of a ministry of Jesus, the brothers, the family, wasn't too much into Jesus. But later, James became a committed disciple of the way of Jesus. He was with the disciples as they gathered together in the days leading up to the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. It is believed that it was this James that became the bishop or overseer of the church in Jerusalem. And this James presided over the council in Jerusalem regarding the issue of Gentile conversion found in Acts chapter 15. So this is the James that is most regarded as the author of this letter. But his identification does little to give us a specific occasion of the writing of this letter. What we do know is that as we read through this letter, It bears a striking resemblance to the Gospel of Matthew and the first letter written by Peter. The connection to these particular writings rests with its insistence, like 1 Peter and Matthew, on the Jewish origin of the Christian faith. In fact, the proposed author, James, the brother of Jesus, has been labeled a Hebrew amongst Hebrews. And James, like Matthew, reads like a sermon. And it seeks to persuade with words and images. And in short, the letter of James is a sermon seeking to persuade its listeners to respond. It is a call to action. The letter is addressed to the 12 tribes, which might be referring to Jewish Christians. Nonetheless, the letter of James has been recognized as a Catholic letter or a universal letter. That simply means that this letter was written to a broad range of people, not a particular congregation like the Roman letter or the Corinthian letter or the Philippian and Ephesian letters. This letter reads, again, like a sermon, and it is calling all who hear its word to actively live out a spiritual life taught and lived by Jesus Christ. In simple terms, with regards to content and teaching, the book, the letter of James, represents some of the most practical teachings found in the New Testament. This is not a letter full of platitudes and theories. This is a letter that does not merely suggest actions, but lays them out as a matter of fact. When you're reading the book of James, you'll see things like, if someone is sick, go anoint them and pray feverishly with them. If someone is talking, be quiet and listen to them. If you want to be religious, care for widows and orphans. If you don't have wisdom, if you don't have it up at top, ask for it. When you're gathered together at church, don't give preferential treatment to those who have money. If you don't have wisdom, again, ask for it. If you're tired of getting tripped up and pinned up by the devil and you're fed up with the devil, then submit yourselves to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Stop worrying about tomorrow and live for today. You're only here for a short time, so make the most of it. Stop worrying and be patience. Church, that's practicality. That's just, you know, where the rubber meets the road. It's not just theology. It's not just theories. It's about what you do as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. James shoots straight. He leaves nothing for the imagination. I suppose since we are reading someone else's mail, we have to interpret some things. But how can we miss the straightforward preaching of an early disciple, an inspired writer and preacher? Yes, preacher, because I believe this letter is a sermon that could be subtitled, Practice What You Believe, or Practice What You Preach, because that stands at the heart of all this practicality. What good is it if we say all the right things and read all the right things and agree on all the right things and we do nothing? What good is it if we pay good money to print big banners that has a mission statement on it if we do nothing? What good is it if we confess Jesus as our Lord or confess our sins to one another and we do nothing? What good is it if we repeat Jesus' words concerning the poor and we do nothing? What good is it? It's no good. It's dead. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we are here to declare that we are alive and kicking. We are dead set against allowing our body, the church body, to be accused of saying one thing and doing nothing. We reject being a church that says one thing and being accused of doing something else. We reject singing songs of faith and praise to God only to be met with challenge and trial, and we respond with fear and despair. No, Brother James says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. We reject praying with no expectations or praying just because we heard it was something good to do. You see, we pray knowing that God is going to do something on behalf of his people. We are his people. Brother James said, ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. You see, church, we, as a body of believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, as disciples, we reject passivity when it comes to spiritual disciplines such as Bible reading. You see, we reject just reading some words and coming to church just to listen to some sermons and get out of here to go do our own thing. No, no, no. You see, Brother James said, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently in the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Brother James is saying there's a lot of us that read a lot of scripture, and we quote a lot of scripture. We even make things up and call it scripture. But we don't do what the scripture says. Brother James was preaching. He said, if that's what you do, you're deceiving yourselves. Church, the book of James is a letter that compels its readers to be active in obedience. We are movers and shakers in our lives and in the lives of others. We don't sit on our hands. We make things happen. We actively obey our Lord in our actions, in our religion, in our lives within the community of the faithful, in our submission and worship to God, and in our prayer life and in confession. And in being active, we are saying that we are alive and kicking. We are saying that we are viable. We are saying that we are vibrant and vivacious. Even in a vacuum where vicious villains are vying to vex our souls, vaulting us into valleys, we voice our vote for victory. I wanted to see how many V's I could use in one sentence. If we are just hearers of the word, we are guilty of a self-delusion whereby we think of ourselves in a light that is merely a fabrication. It's a lie. It's what gives birth to the common label of Christians that we are hypocrites. That is exactly what we become when we choose not to act on what we hear. No. And believe. It's like what Brother James said, faith without works is dead. Will you join me, church, in the next several weeks in rereading this letter, the Epistle of James, and making a choice not to just hear words, but do them. Otherwise, we continue the cyclical condition of God's followers. We become so comfortable and even lazy. We become walking corpses. We become like the people of old who heard God and soon forgot what he said, or lived as though they forgot what he had said. I don't know about you, church, but I serve and worship a God that is living, who has given me life and has given me a reason to live. So I will display my faith in this living God that has given me life and a reason to live by showing my faith by my deeds and works and what I do. Thus, I am alive and kicking. Church, I want to invite you to join me over the next 5 weeks and reading this letter like we've never read it before, and making a commitment to not just listen to these words, not just repeat them to others, but to implement them, to swallow them, to digest it, and to live it out in this community and in the community outside. If you are interested in fully engaging our time in the Word over the next several weeks, I would strongly encourage you to read the letter of James in its entirety in one sitting this week, from start to finish. See if you agree with me when I say, when compared to other letters, this letter has more practical teaching than any other. Read it and self-evaluate your life. Are you a hearer only or a doer? Are you active in obedience or passive? If you could not speak a word, if your lips were sewn shut, how would others define your life? Based on our actions, how will our church be defined? Will we be defined as ones who are consumed with doubt, faithlessness, and defeat? Or do our actions display our faith, trust, and obedience in God? How will we as a body choose to live? Brother James said, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." Quite simply, church, since God has given birth to us, may we choose to live actively obeying God in word and deed in all its vibrant glory, because we are alive and kicking. Again, I invite you over the next several weeks to dig into this word with me. Again, I invite you this week to sit down, get you a cup of coffee or a cup of iced tea or a cup of water or something and a Bible. Start at James 1:1 and read through chapter 5. Just sit down and read it. And listen at the intent in the heart of an early radical Christ who says, it's not enough to just say, I believe. There are demons who believe. It's not enough. It's got to be accompanied with deeds and works. Listen, the book of James isn't a book about salvation. It's not in contrast with Paul when he says you're saved by grace, not by your works. They're talking about two different things here. This is not about salvation, the book of James. This is about showing who you belong to. This is about living out the very words that we preach and teach and read when we come into class and we discuss all these wonderful lessons about Jesus Christ and how he was compassionate and how he was loving and how he has compelled us to love. And we get in here and we say all those great things that Jesus did, and then we start living it, or we don't start living it, or we ignore it. We don't embody that. We got to stop that. We've got to put these words that we read, these words that we believe, when we say we believe in the Bible, and the Bible is all good, and it's powerful, and it's good for teaching and learning and reproach and all these things. Well, let's begin to put it into practice. Otherwise, people's accusation against us of being hypocrites or being people who say one thing but don't do the things that they say, they're valid. Let's invalidate those accusations of hypocrisy. Amen? Amen. Let's invalidate this idea that we're just walking corpses and that we don't have lives. Let's invalidate this accusation that, man, churchgoers are all good when everything is good, but when things start going bad, oh, they just jump off the wagon, they become just like the rest. Let's reject those notions and let's invalidate those accusations. Will you join me in really digesting this word, this sermon of James, so that we can display to one another and to the world that we are alive and kicking? Let's pray. God, we are determined not to simply be just hearers of the word, but doers of these words. And God, we pray that we would be active in obedience, not passive, that we would be active in our religion, that we would be active in the community of faith, that we would be active in submission and active in prayer and confession. God, might this month start a new trek, a new determination, a new confession of our desire to be doers of the word. And Father, we fully accept this notion that Brother James preached so long ago, that faith without works is dead. God, we pray that you would possess us by your Holy Spirit. Give us the courage and the faith to live as you have called us to live in this community of faith and in this community abroad. God, thank you so much for Jesus Christ, for his example of not just saying one thing and doing another, or not doing the things that he says, but an example of one who did the very things that he said. He was consistent. It killed him. It got him killed. We know that he was killed for us, to give us life, to give us new birth. Father, help us to remember. Help us to remember why it is we sing the songs and pray the prayers and come together. God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anything that we can do for you as a church, surround you in prayer, surround you with wisdom or counsel. If there's something that we can do to help you in your spiritual journey, we would love to be a part of that. If you want to begin your time with Jesus, maybe you haven't really thought a lot about that, you want to sit down with some people and just share with that other person just the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can do that for you. If you've done that and you want to take some more steps, you want to make a public profession of your faith, you want to make a public profession or confession that you want to be alive and vibrant and that you're alive and kicking, if you want to celebrate that and seal that in baptism, we will do that for you. Please come as we stand and sing this song selectively.